Thank you. I would first like to thank the organizers of this workshop inviting me to give a talk. And also, I would like to thank the organizers of the thematic program this semester for inviting me here to help coordinate things. I hope I've contributed a little bit to that end. So today I will mainly be talking about a paper I put on the archive in June. So let me start with some motivation, basic motivation for this thematic program. It has to do with some very general conjecture, but I'm going to focus on a less effective conjecture by Serge Lange. This is a Lange conjecture. So we take a projective variety, or manifold actually. I'll start with variety. And assume, you can always assume it's normal. So if X is of general type, so that's the same thing as Kolera dimension of X equals N. Then the union of subvarieties of X, not of general type, so this cannot be the Zariski dense. So it must be contained in the proper subvariety. So this is known in the literature as an algebraic version of Lange conjecture. It has to do with general type, and essentially it means Ricci curvature is negative in some sense. So the conjecture attempts to link Ricci curvature with curvature in different directions. And so I guess we heard a lot about the conjectures that has to do with Ricci curvature, has to do with the canonical bond of X. In particular, yesterday, even some people, I mean, there were some negative feelings about most of these conjectures. But today, I would like to convince you that there are some hope, a glimmer of hope for this type of conjecture. The Ricci curvature is not all that bad. And in fact, the method of proof for this, I'm going to deal with one particular case of this conjecture, and the method of proof actually is completely elementary. So I hope you can try to follow this and try to formulate the whole thing in terms of the other conjecture. So another way of looking at this conjecture, another way of formulating using the language of introduced by Campana. So equivalently, union of special subvarieties. If you are not here, don't worry. That means, so this union is not the Zariski dense. Okay, that's another way to look at this. Now, first remark I would like to make is that this union can never contain an open set. So remember that as remark zero. That's an easy consequence of some basic things about Kolera dimension. So one evidence for this conjecture, in some sense the strongest evidence for conjecture, comes from some structure theorems of Kalamata. By the way, this conjecture historically is probably due to a lot of people. A lot of people probably at some time made something like this. I know that Naser made this conjecture for surfaces in the 70s. Okay. And according to Professor Noguchi, it's also due to Bombieri and many other people, Green Griffiths and so on. So Kawamata made this structure theorem. So these are structure theorems which were published in the 80s. I will always assume there exists a finite map in an Abelian variety. Okay, so first theorem, one can always factor such an X to a variety of general type, through a variety of general type, where this is a quotient of A. So this is a quotienting vertical means quotient by an Abelian subgroup. Okay. And this is a finite. So this is a commutative diagram. So another part of this. X is special if and only if. So this is a characterization of special. Okay, if you don't know what special means, you can think of this as a definition. If and only if R is a tau. So R is unramified. Theorem 2. So these two theorems are in separate, two different papers. Okay, and theorem 2 is a very, very short paper by Kawamata. Got published in the Invenzione. So this theorem 2 tells us that the conjecture is actually true. Okay. Conjecture true if X is of general type and R is an inclusion. So even though the structure theorem 1 deal with finite maps to A, The stronger structure theorem of varieties of general type. So one can always factor through a variety of general type, which is finite over an Abelian variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you want to say why. Why is a point? A point is general type and is not general type at the same time. Oh, okay. Well, we know what this means. Yeah, so a few remarks. This part implies special, in particular special subvarieties, are just translates of subgroups. However, so this special subvarieties of A are just translates. On the other hand, special subvarieties of X are not necessarily translate. However, special subvariety of X may be singular. And in fact, even though they cover an Abelian variety, okay, the special sub-variety in some sense cover abelian varieties. So they're actually abelian varieties, but they're images of abelian varieties inside X, and they may be singular. And in fact, it is the singularity that creates a problem in the analysis. Otherwise, the problem is quite easy. So there are effective versions of these theorems, Kawamata theorem, for example, but not very many around. So there's an effective version which one can deduce. Theorem 2 for codimension 1 special subvarieties. So these are just translates. And this one can obtain from my work with Miyaoka. American Journal of Math. There you have some correction term, but if you assume, the effective means we bound the degree. Respect to the canonical bundle, Kx. Okay. Here I'm going to use a good model such that Kx is ample. Okay. Such a thing exists that we know. In that case, there are no correction terms. And this gives you a very effective version for codimension 1. For surfaces, was already known by the work of Noguchi, Winkelmann, and Yamanoi. But here, the math R is still finite. So if a finite math on a smooth surface in the abelian variety, then that's very true. And this is the effective version. So this effective version is not as effective in the sense that it does not relate directly to K, but indirectly it goes through the so-called the canonical divisor, Gauss map, degree of the Gauss map. Of this object. And in fact, to go from here to effective version involving a canonical divisor requires a bound on the degree of the Albanese map. And so far, I don't know how to bound the degree of the Albanese map. So I have a problem going from here to here directly. but as you'll see, I can bound directly the degree of the Gauss map by simply obtaining a bound directly there. So, Noguchi also has generalized Kawamata theorem to the quasi-projective case shortly after Kawamata theorem in the 80s. So the main theorem that I'm going to talk about is that if we assume, so where's our assumption? So this is our assumption. Let's call this assumption star. So if we assume that, then conjecture is true. And we have an effective version. I'll talk in particular about the surface case, because I'm going to focus on the surface case, which is written out in the paper. So, the main corollary comes from a theorem of Noguchi-Winkelmann-Yamanoi, again, same paper, or previous papers, their previous four. For all holomorphic map, the image is not the residence. So all holomorphic maps are algebraically degenerate. Now, of course, this doesn't give you where the locus must be degenerate, but if you couple it with the main theorem, then from C to X. Thanks. Okay. No, how do I want it? No, this doesn't. Right. No good. Oh, that's just good here. So this implies corollary. One star plus general type implies there exists a proper subvariety which contains all holomorphic curves. Okay. So it doesn't this Z does not depend on the holomorphic curve, and this is still true if star is replaced by irregularity greater or equal to H. I would like to actually replace it by without this condition on X, but so far we have some technical problems. Okay. Now, let me give you the effective version in the case dimension equals 2, which I'll call theorem prime. And the reason I want to put down the effective version is I actually want to compare it with some other effective versions in the surface case. So let's take a minimal surface general type. So this is just a smooth surface whose canonical bundle is nothing big. And we assume that the Albanese map alpha, which maps S to an abelian variety, is generically finite. This alpha replaces a row of R there. If we take a Stein factorization of alpha, then we end up with a R. So then, we have this bound for all special curves, for all curves in X which are rational or elliptic. And previous to this, there were some other theorems by myself and Miyoka, but most recently, Miyoka got one of the most effective versions in the case of surfaces, but concerning another type of surface, do a preprint, replace boxes by an inequality in churn number. This is the Bogomolov surface. Then KS dot C is roughly bounded by KS squared. So his bound is in quadratic in terms of the volume. The volume is defined to be just a cell subsection of the canonical bundle. So replace hypothesis on alpha. So we don't assume any hypothesis on the irregularity, and we instead assume this. Then we have this bound in general. These two. There's no implication between this hypothesis and this hypothesis. So there are examples where this hypothesis satisfies, but this hypothesis is not. It's very easy to construct. So, Mark. So, insert. Get some of these remarks. Yeah, one interesting question one wants to ask is whether a bound like this is always true in terms of just the volume, linearly in terms of the volume. So this is a quadratic in terms of the volume. So let me ask this question. Does there exist a linear bound for the canonical degree of S, the canonical degree of C inside S? So this is the intersection of C, or the degree of canonical bundle on C, linearly in terms of KS squared, in terms of volume. So connected to this question is a work I did with Miyoko, so C in BO5, where we proved that there is a linear bound if one includes contribution from some singularities of C. So this is KS dot C is always bounded by 3C2 minus C1 squared. So this can be bounded in terms of C1 squared. Plus number of ordinary singularities. Simple ordinary singularities of C. Are there any questions? For any surface genotype. So we cannot deal with the nodes, actually, because we use logarithmic Bianco-Young inequality. And when you have a node, when you blow up a node, you still get nodal singularities, essentially. You can never remove nodal singularities. Yeah, actually, so what really happens is, I'll leave it there. So, let me start by giving a sketch of the proof. So, sketch for theorem prime, for the two-dimensional case first, and I'll make some remarks about generalization. So, I'll break it up into two lemmas. So in instead of a finite map, let's consider a generically finite map. So here S is a surface. And we will assume S is minimal. But this assumption is not necessary for this lemma, in fact. All assumptions are always simplified when it's you assume the surface is minimal. So A is any abelian variety. But actually, for simplicity, I'm going to assume that A is two-dimensional. One can always reduce to the two-dimensional case. So, yeah, the statement is a bit long. Let me try to simplify this. So we take K to be the canonical bundle of S. D to be the reduced part of the canonical divisor. So we think of this as if you think of this as a divisor, then this is just the determinant of D alpha. And we take G to be a horizontal component. Pardon me? Oh. So we're interested in bounding elliptic curves in S. So the exceptional curves in S are bounded quite easily with that bound. I want to compute this. The question is, can we bound the elliptic curves in S, which are horizontal? So elliptic curves in S, which are horizontal, project down to translates of an elliptic curve in A, translate of a linear subgroup, one-dimensional subgroup in A. So we take C an elliptic curve. In S. And then we take an image C0 image of C in A, and we pull back you consider C0 as a reduced divisor in A, two-dimensional. So you can pull back this divisor, alpha pull back C0, and let's define that to be C hat. Now C hat, of course, includes the elliptic curve inside. And normally the elliptic curve is reduced. Now, we are going to subtract out the components, horizontal components of C hat, which are not reduced. So let's C prime equals to non-elliptic. Horizontal component. The union of non-elliptic horizontal components that has multiplicity 1. And you subtract them off, okay? Because the other non-elliptic component which are multiplicity 1 actually will give bad contribution. So you want to subtract off this. And then let C bar equals to, let's define what do I want? Would be equal to C hat minus C prime minus C double prime. Okay, where C double prime is some horizontal, some vertical component, okay, where C double prime is exceptional. And we assume that C double prime is inside C bar. So finally, I know that you cannot read below. G is not inside C bar, then the following estimate holds. G C bar. The intersection of G with C bar. So this is the same thing as G C, G dot C. Both of these are curved on surfaces. X, this is bounded by twice G K plus B, plus some, actually subtract some contribution from singularities, which I will not care for now. Okay. Some number of singular components of D inside G. Okay. So that's, in any case, this part is bounded by this, even without this contribution. Okay, so this is the conclusion, this is the key lemma to prove the theorem. So the idea of the proof is actually extremely simple, so I'm going to prove it only in the case where all these things are equal. And we assume that these are all smooth for simplicity. This is only for simplicity to let you know the idea. Okay? The actual technical details comes from the fact that in general the canonical divisor have vertical components. Right? There are exceptional divisors, and if you assume this, then this is G is horizontal, so there's no vertical component. So in a case where there are vertical components to the canonical divisor, the analysis is slightly more complicated because you have to actually, in this case, all the, you can, the intersection of the canonical bundle with anything just is concentrated on G. In fact, only the dualizing sheaf of G matters. And the dualizing sheaf on this object can be non-positive, okay, when you restrict it to some component, horizontal, vertical component. And that can create a problem for analysis. But what you can do is you can do a decomposition of the canonical divisor, which this decomposition exists in, for arbitrary chain of curves inside a surface. You can always work out that the dualizing sheaf of the canonical divisor is positive on most segments. On the segment that you're interested in doing the intersection, and that's enough for our purpose. And you'll see why positivity canonical divisor is crucial. So the curve, I mean, in some sense, you have a surface upstairs, and you have a abelian surface downstairs. This is your alpha. You have some elliptic curve, which may be singular, okay, and projects down to an elliptic curve down here. Of course, that's the general case, but in the case of smooth, actually, the lift the curve may have several components, but I guess it might not be singular. But anyway, the elliptic curve locally is defined by an equation. So this is f equals 0, where df actually is part of a global holomorphic one-form. And there exists a global holomorphic one-form which restricts to 0 on the elliptic curve. And that global holomorphic one-form locally gives you a defining function. The primitive of the one-form gives you a defining function of this this curve. So just pull back this global holomorphic one-form. Okay, just let's call this F0. So this would be F0 from downstairs. If you pull back this global upstairs, locally the curve will be defined by the pullback. Okay, F alpha pullback of F0. So locally the curve will be defined by F equals 0. The elliptic curve. Okay. And the pullback of omega is, omega is just df, right? This is alpha pullback. Upstairs. So the point is, so that omega 0 define C 0 in A. In that sense. Then the pullback of omega 0, let's define this to be omega. This is a global holomorphic one form on the surface, but when you restrict it to G, to the canonical divisor, it actually gives you a section of the cotangent bundle of G. So the canonical bundle, or the canonical bundle of G. So this is a section of G using the adjunction formula K plus G, or K plus D. So if you restrict, again, you have to restrict this to G. That gives you a section over G of K plus G. And you count the zeros. So in general, the zeros of dot omega is discrete, okay, on G. And so this gives you the intersection of this omega with G. So order, let's call this restricted G, let's call this gamma. And the order at any point of gamma of this one form is just the order locally df restricted to G. And this is just the order of f restricted G minus 1. So this is a key point, which everybody can see directly why that's true. I'm looking at the order at a point of vanishing of df, or the point of vanishing of f. So the order at the point of vanishing of f restricted G is actually, by definition, it's the intersection of this elliptic curve with G. The local intersection of this elliptic curve with G at x. Okay. And it's just one bigger than the order of the intersection of the one form. So what this gives you is that the order G of G with respect to C bar of X. Local intersection of X of G with respect to C bar, which is this order here, is just equals to this order plus 1. But this order plus 1, so this is order x df omega g plus 1. Now you just sum over some of our points in G. And if you sum over all points in G, then so this will, in fact, I forgot to mention that this order is always necessarily equals to twice the order. At a point of vanishing of omega, this is always greater than equals 1, so this is twice the order. So this is bounded by twice the intersection of G with K plus G. And in fact, by our hypothesis, K and G are the same, so this is twice K squared. And this is the idea of the proof. So, let me, maybe, to see what, this idea actually I got directly from Noguchi Wingerman's Yamanoi's paper. But they didn't use forms. They were just looking at order. All these ideas, even Kawamata's paper, uses the Gauss map in some way. Okay. In fact, Kawamata uses the form in some way. But Noguchi Wingerman Yamanoi were just looking at the order of contact with the, using the Gauss map of the canonical divisor. Any questions with this? So, actually, to go from here to the theorem, I mean there are several ways. Let me mention that in order to go from here to the theorem, this two actually becomes a bit larger because of the fact that K. In the analysis of canonical bundle, when there is a vertical component, we have to decompose K in a particular fashion. And there are probably a better ways or more efficient ways of doing that. I don't know. But in any case, the bound that we obtained is sharp with respect to the Gauss map. Okay, so in the remaining time, let me give you I wrote down lemma 2, but I think maybe let me just write down lemma 2 instead of copying this whole huge thing, decompose Ks. So this is equals to the divisor given by determinant D alpha. This actually is the ramification divisor. Okay, and one sees in this context, ramification divisor can also play the same role. And the way it comes in, actually, the idea here is extremely simple, but uses just one idea that the derivative exists. Derivative of a function exists, but over you would like to do this over function over a number field, and then you have to try to understand this part here. Yeah. So that the dualizing sheaf of KS. Is positive on each component. And this added with this was some work. The detail, actually, since I only have 10 minutes left, I don't want to go through the detail of this. So let's mention some facts about the higher dimensions and also generalizations of this to the quasi-projective case. So Noguchi have generalized Kawamata theorem 2 to the quasi-projective category. So Lang conjecture is actually true in that in the quasi-projective category as well. But you would like to generalize that also to varieties which admits generically finite maps to abelian variety or quasi semi-abelian variety. And the first point in this, so let me so special what is that projected? In the quasi-projective case, first of all, one would like to know whether special subvarieties of abelian varieties, of semi-abelian varieties. Or of finite, generically finite covers. Of semi-abelian variety one would like to know what these objects are. So remember in the second part of Kawamata theorem 1b there's a characterization special subvarieties of abelian varieties are just abelian varieties themselves. Okay. They're just translate downstairs and upstairs if you assume they're normal they're also just abelian varieties. So these are the thing that one needs to deal with in the quasi-projective category. And so let me quote the theorem. Actually, this was discussed already by Jörg Winkelmann for the surface case. So I want to discuss it slightly more in the case general. So one of the ingredients in understanding special subvarieties of objects which are generically finite covers of semi-abelian varieties uses the following lemma. Okay, so this is a lemma which it's a theorem in a paper of mine with Buzzard. In the year 2000, American Journal of Math. This is known as lemma 1.7, I think, or theorem 1.7. So if you have a map, say vibration R, I'm going to use F. If you have a map from a surface to a curve, this is a fiber space of where S is quasi-projective. Surface and C is a curve. A non-hyperbolic curve. So C can be non-compact in general. Then special. So this, although this notion was not known at the time this paper was written, but if you put in a special, S is special if and only if there exists a holomorphic map, which is there. Okay. So a non-degenerate holomorphic map. So if you use this lemma, this is actually just an interpolation lemma. It's exactly the same as the class, the proof is exactly the same as the classical Weierstrass theorem. Except you generalize it to the quasi-projective in the fiber space case. The fiber space is just so that all the fibers are connected. I forgot some important hypothesis with fibers. Are non-hyperbolic with general fibers, you know, generic fibers, are non-hyperbolic curves, irreducible, and connected. Okay, using that theorem, one is it is not very hard to deduce that a special variety, so if you have a map which is generically finite to an abelian variety, then X is and there exists a non-degenerate map from C to X. This is a non-degenerate. In other words, the image is really dense. Then X is special. And in fact, this is a if and only if thing. And the way you prove this, you use basically that lemma and another fact about abelian vibrations, which actually you can find in another paper of mine. That's still a preprint. About abelian vibrations, so this lemma can be generalized in the case where the fibers are abelian varieties. So this has been completely written up a long time ago. And if you use that in induction, because what is a quasi-semi-abelian variety is just C star to the K bundle over an abelian variety. So if you have a Zariski dense image on top, okay, you can pull back each factor of C star, okay, and apply that lemma. And then go down in dimension. Go down and until you reach the abelian variety, then you apply the same lemma for the abelian variety case to give this implication. And the other way around is also follows from that lemma in the general case. So once we know what special varieties are, wait a minute. I didn't say. So, if only X special, so if and only if this is a birational map. Okay. So let's say alpha is the Albanese map of X. Alpha is birational. And an image of alpha can X is in general quasi projective, so the image of alpha can possibly miss some parts of X. Alpha complement. So that's the condition. And in dimension two, this part is worked out in my paper with with Gerd Detloff. Okay, so once you understand what special varieties are, they're essentially disappearing varieties, then one can do the same thing in the compact case, okay, using the log canonical instead of the canonical bundle, so the same theorem, main theorem, for quasi projective, would imply that the Lang conjecture, so for all, so implies that X a variety of genotype is a generically finite map to Abelian, to a semi-Abelian variety. So for example, you can take the quasi-Albanese map, okay, and resolve, suitably resolved. If this property happens to be true, then there exists a sub-variety which contains all holomorphic curves. Okay. So I'm still writing this. Maybe this is a good time for me to stop.